Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're brand new, welcome to the Daily Hope family. We hope you'll enjoy the teachings of Pastor Rick Warren right here. I'm so excited for all of you to learn about your shape. It might not be the shape you're thinking of right now. Rick loves to use acrostics, and this one is S-H-A-P-E, your shape. Your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And one of the reasons I love this series and have shared it with so many friends is because Rick talks about the way God wired you and why you need not just know your shape, but how to use it to do the things that God designed you to do. And now let's listen to Pastor Rick as he shares the final part of a message called The Purpose of Your Personality.
Now, you're going to be tempted the rest of your life. And the Bible says this, there on the outlines, 1 Peter chapter 2. Since your real home is in heaven, in other words, you're not going to spend forever here on this planet, keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They're not for you, for they fight against your very souls. They fight against your souls and your emotions. He says, just keep away from them. Don't always give in to them. Don't do that. Now, what's the warning to feelers? The warning to feelers is this. You must let God lead you. You must let God lead you. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Don't be led by your emotions, but be led by the Spirit. It says, let the Spirit direct your lives. And you will not satisfy, you won't yield to, you won't give in to the desires, the lust of the human nature. Now, we all have desires, and not all of them are good desires. Not every desire you have is a good one. You got some good ones, you got some bad ones. You're going to give in to your desires unless you let the Spirit lead your life. You'll either be controlled by your feelings or by God's Spirit. And when you say, I let God's Spirit lead me, it doesn't mean you don't have the feelings, it just means you don't give in to them. A lot of people think, well, if I feel it, then I'll do it. And once I become a Christian, God will take away all my feelings for bad. No, he doesn't. You will have those feelings the rest of your life. But a follower of Christ is not someone who has no feelings. A follower of Christ is someone who just doesn't obey the wrong ones. Doesn't give in, doesn't get addicted to, doesn't yield to, doesn't let the negative or the wrong feelings control you. It doesn't say you're tempted, it says you won't satisfy, you won't give in. Now, it's interesting that in worship, feelers often close their eyes. I don't know if you've noticed this. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a good thing. If it helps you focus in on God, it's fine to close your eyes. Feelers use their body. They'll raise their hands. You know, it's like at a ball game. People get excited. They go, woo-hoo! Well, we do about somebody hit a home run. Why can't you go, God, woo-hoo! That's fine. And so you see it in their faces. And the Bible says that, in fact, when you are worshiping God, all around you becomes irrelevant. You're not paying attention to how somebody else looks or how even you look. You're focused on God. The third personality are the thinkers. Now, talkers love God with their hearts, and feelers love God with their souls. Thinkers love God with their minds. Did you know that you can love God with your intellect? Did you know that when you're doing intellectual activities, it brings glory to God? Did you know that God never said, now, I want you to take the brain that I gave you and put it on the shelf and follow me? No, he said, I want you to use your mind, use your brain, use your intellect. And the Bible says, love God with all your mind. When you're developing in your mind, you're strengthening your mind, you're educating your mind, you are doing an act of worship because you're doing something with what God gave you. Now, the biblical worldview, and Christianity is a worldview, the biblical worldview that's in this Bible is the only logical, rational worldview that squares with reality. I don't know if you studied all the 9 major worldviews of life. I have. I've studied them intensely. And every other worldview that's not based on this ultimately ends up in nihilism, which means nothing matters. There is no meaning in life if there is no God. People try to make it up, but there really isn't. There is no morality in life without God. You cannot have a moral society if there is not a moral God. Otherwise, we're just animals. If there is no God, then you are an accident, and your life doesn't matter squat. If there is no God, then your life has no purpose. It has no meaning. You are a freak accident. You're simply just an animal, and it's survival of the fittest. And if I want to come over and kill you and take your stuff, well, sorry, it's survival of the fittest. There is no basis for morality in society if there is no God. The logical, rational, intelligent, systematically lining it up with reality is the worldview that God gives us in His Word. And God says, I want you to use your mind. Now, people who are thinkers, when they become believers and follow Christ, all of a sudden they fall in love with the Bible because they love to study this book. It is so deep. There's no other book in the world like it. And you could study it and study it and study it. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And it has all of the answers to life's questions like, why am I here? Where am I going? What am I here for? What is the purpose of life? Does my life matter? What's the past? What's the future? Where did I come from? They're all here in this book. And thinkers dig in and they study. And they love Bible study because they are thinkers. The Bible says this in Psalm 119, how I love your law. I think about it all day long. Now, why do we need thinkers in the world? We need talkers because we need communication. We need feelers because we need compassion. We need thinkers because the world needs consideration. Consideration. In other words, somebody's got to be thinking through complex issues, complex problems. Somebody's got to be thinking through the implications of what the rest of us are doing. And we need people who think through tough problems and bring solutions to the table. That's why we need scientists. That's why we need writers. That's why we need philosophers. That's why we need inventors, inventing new things and thinking it through. That's why we need innovators and why we need creators who are thinking through solutions to problems that are in the world. The Bible tells us that we are to think about what God wants to do in our own lives. It says this in Lamentations chapter 3. We should think about the way we are living and turn back to the Lord. Socrates said, the unexamined life isn't worth living. We need to think about the direction of our lives. And thinkers are good at this. They ponder the path that they're heading. Now, are there any weaknesses to this personality? Well, of course, just like there are weaknesses to talkers, weaknesses to feelers, there are two weaknesses of thinkers. Number one is pride. Pride. Because thinkers who have the ability to think fast or are educated tend to look down on people who don't think the way they do. And, well, you're not sophisticated, or you're not educated, or you don't know what I know. And they tend to devalue everybody else, not realizing that we now know there are at least 9 different kinds of intelligence, not just one. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says this. It says, pride puffs up, or knowledge makes people arrogant, but love builds them up. King James says, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. If you're going to be smart, great, use your smarts, but you must temper it with love. Otherwise, you're going to be egotistical. Now, let me tell you a little secret. Don't tell anybody I told you this. The last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to speak at and meet with some of the most brilliant minds in the world. In congresses and conferences and seminars, very bright people. And you know what? Some of them are just flat out stuck up. They're snooty. They're snotty. I won't tell you what they are. But they're smart. They know they're smart. And they'll be happy to tell you they're smart. And they're proud of their smarts. And what they don't realize is everybody's ignorant just on different subjects. Okay? You know some things a physicist doesn't know. And the person next to you knows some things you don't know. And they know some things I don't know. Everybody's ignorant just on different subjects. Nobody knows everything. So the Bible says, don't be proud of your wisdom. Be proud that you know the Lord. Now, if you are a thinker, you ought to use your intelligence, but temper it with love. Because otherwise, you can become egotistical about it. The other problem of thinkers is indecision. Some people use study as an excuse to never act. And some of the most scholarly people I know are also the most vacillating, wimpy, indecisive people I know. They're always saying, well, it could be this, and it could be that, and it could be this, and it could, and they never come to conclusion. The Bible talks about them like this, always studying, but never able to recognize the truth. And some people use study as an excuse, as a barrier to never act, to never really do anything. So the Bible gives warnings to thinkers, just like it does to talkers and to feelers. The first one is practice humility. The Bible says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Why? Because God is God and you're not, and he's a lot wiser. Humility is a choice. By the way, never pray for God to humble you. In the first place, not once in the Bible are you ever told to pray that prayer. It never says, ask God to humble you. So don't ever say, God, please humble me. No. In the Bible, it says, humble yourself before the Lord. It's a choice. Humility is something you do to yourself. Nobody else can do it to you. They can humiliate you, but they can't make you humble. Humble is something you do to yourself. It's a choice to say, God, you know what, in essence, humility is? It's total dependence upon God. God, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting you in this moment. Even with the gifts and the talents and abilities that you've given me, I'm trusting you. And humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. The other warning to thinkers is to practice what you know. Practice what you know. If you know it, then do it. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You could come to Saddleback Church for 20 years and take notes on every single sermon ever preached here, and still never really do it. Would you write this down in your outline? I only believe the parts of the Bible I actually do. I only believe the parts I actually do. Do you believe we ought to give to the poor? Yeah. Do you do it? Nah. Do you believe that people are need Christ to go to heaven? Yeah. Do you tell them about it? No. Do you believe in tithing? Yeah. Do you do it? No. You only believe the parts you do. You may write it down. Be kind to my wife. If you're not kind to your wife, you don't believe it. You only believe the parts that you do. Doers love God with their strength. This is the fourth personality, the doer. These are the energetic activists of life. They're the get-it-done people. They're the achievers, the accomplishers, the workers, the people that push things forward, that make things happen in the practical sense of life. Psalm 116 says this. This is a verse of a doer. Oh God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for your service. He's saying, God, put me in, coach. I want to be in the game. Don't leave me on the sideline. I want to be involved in this. I don't want to watch history happen. I want to make history. Put me in the game. Let me in there. Let me have a shot at it. I'm ready to go to work, Lord. I'm obedient. I'm active, and I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to serve you. Now, what is the purpose of doers in the world? Well, the world needs contribution. We don't just need communication. We don't just need compassion. We don't just need consideration. We got to get to act, get to work, and do it. We need contribution. We need people of action. We need, as Pastor Kerry calls them, get her done people. People with initiative, with energy, with action, with a bias for achievement, with a bias for starting things and growing things and building things and developing things. Hands and feet people, go-getters. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1, offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible, in other words, practical way to serve God. He says, offer your body. Why? Because that's the only way you can serve God. Even if you're using your mind or your mouth or your heart or your emotions, it's part of your body. You can't serve God out of your body. So be practical. He says, give him your body. Say, God, here's my body for you to use in this world in any way you want to be used. And of course, it takes thinkers and talkers and feelers and doers. And about a fourth of us are in each of those categories. And God says, now I want you to love me all four ways, but in the way that you're primarily shaped, that's the way I expect your primary worship, your primary love, and your primary service to come. By talking, by thinking, by feeling, by doing. And we're all necessary in the body of Christ. Now, just as talkers and feelers and thinkers have their weaknesses, what are the weaknesses of doers? Well, I can say it in one word: overwork. Overwork. Doers are always working. Work, 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 work. And they never stop to think. They certainly don't stop to feel. And they wouldn't spend a second stopping to talk. Let's just get it done. Let's get it done. And so they're always busy, busy, busy. And God says this in Psalm 127. It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing you're going to starve to death. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. That would be a good verse to put up on the mirror in your bathroom. God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. This week in my personal quiet time, as I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, God gave me a verse that I hadn't seen before in the Message paraphrase. It says this on the screen. Slow down. Take a deep breath. What's the hurry? Why wear yourself out? Just what are you after anyway? But you say, I can't help it. I'm addicted to alien gods. That means false gods, phony gods, fake gods. It means not the true God. I'm addicted to something else other than the one true God. And I can't quit. Let me read it again. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Everybody just take a deep breath right now. Slow down. Take a deep breath. What's the hurry? Why wear yourself out? Just what are you after anyway? But you say, I can't help it. I'm addicted to alien gods. I can't quit. Question, what alien gods are you addicted to? The approval of other people? Money? Status? Are you addicted to praise? To sex? To making a name for yourself? Are you addicted to adrenaline? You just like the rush of working fast? Why can't you slow down? Why can't you stop and take a break? What are you really after? You need to know that, particularly if you're a doer. Why do you do what you do? When you know the why, God will show you how. But if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you're in a cycle. God says, slow it down. If you're a doer, you need to slow it down. Some of you need to do less. Not less for God, but less in other areas. So you got more time to do what matters most. Now, the Bible says that when you become a believer, that God makes you a new person inside. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 7, verse 17 says, when anyone becomes a Christian, if any man be in Christ, you are a new person inside. The old has passed away, the new has come. What is actually new in your life when you become a believer? Well, we've talked about it many times. Past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. Let me tell you something that doesn't change. When you come to Christ, your personality doesn't change. If you were a talker before you knew the Lord, you're still a talker. If you were a feeler before you knew the Lord, you're still a feeler. If you were a thinker before you knew the Lord, you're still a thinker. And if you were a doer before your Lord, before the Lord, you still are a doer. God doesn't slow you down when you come to him. He just changes your direction. In fact, he says, I want to empower it. Remember, you got your personality from him. And God doesn't want to make you a clone of everybody else in the way that you worship and serve and love God. No, he says, I want you to worship and love and serve me the way I made you to be, with your personality, through talking, through feeling, through thinking, through doing. And I want you to do it all four ways, even though I primarily put you in one category. But he says, not only that, I will strengthen your personality, not dampen it. I'm not going to turn you into a religious nut. I'm going to make you more you than you've ever been before. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
What a great message from Pastor Rick. I hope it touched you just like it touched me today. And now let's end our show with a closing thought from Rick.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website.
If you'd like to share this broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com. Click on the Listen tab. There you'll find buttons where you can share the message by email, social media, or WhatsApp. That's PastorRick.com. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.